Hi, this is Paul Marks, host and producer of Multifamily Matters. Today we're going to air the best of Multifamily Matters. It's a very educational and informative episode, so listen and enjoy the best of Multifamily Matters.
Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, powered by the Multifamily Media Network and the only broadcast radio show in the nation that is solely dedicated to multifamily industry operations. I'm your host, Paul Marks, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. We have a great show with a wonderful guest who's extremely knowledgeable and right in the middle of today's topic. And today we're discussing the topic of brand new multifamily ops and tech research. Joining me by phone for his annual visit is a multifamily prop tech expert and sought-after national speaker, the fabulous Dom Beveridge, the principal with 20 for 20. Welcome, Dom.
Thank you. And it may come as a surprise. I'm not joining by phone. I'm right here in front of you.
Exactly.
In the studio.
Oh, yeah. You are not joining by phone. So you're right. We are both in the studio. So, you know, this is something that I look forward to every year when you publish your report. Why don't you give a little background of the report and how it's done and the surveys that you do, who participates, because it really is a lot of gold in this report every year.
Well, thank you. And this is the seventh year we've done this.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah. So for those unfamiliar with it, 20 for 20 is this annual survey where we get 20 senior executives, 10 COOs or heads of operation, and 10 heads of technology from 20 different companies, which represent everything from, you know, sort of 5,000 unit owner operators all the way through to massive third party managers. And we asked them all the same questions about what they did in the last year, what the highlights of the last year were, what they're planning to do in 2025. And from the detailed information that we get, we are able to sort of figure out what the priorities are in operations and technology at this sort of snapshot moment, which comes at the end of each year. And it gives us this nice way to think about what people are focusing on right now.
You know, what's interesting is, because you do this every year, different group of people, mm-hmm. different questions, mm-hmm. but you also have the opportunity to kind of go back and look and see, well, what they talked about last year, how did that turn out? What did you find out about what was predicted?
Well, 2024, when we were looking at it from the end of 2023, was really, really dominated by supply. Like there were so many markets where there was so much new supply that everybody was kind of looking at everything through this lens of it's going to be very difficult to retain residents. It's going to be really hard to maintain occupancies, let alone grow rent in most of the markets that we're in. So that was the way that people were looking at 2024. Some things were a bit surprising about how that panned out, because when we talked to people at the end of 2024, looking forward to this year, it really felt like we were in the middle of the year that people were predicting 1 year earlier, if you see what I mean. Like, so in at the end of 2023, people were saying survive to 25. Everyone knew that 2024 was going to be rough. But it really feels like at the end of 2024, we're only halfway through that period that people thought would be a year long. It's really like 2024 ended up being more like a 2 year period, which means when you think about how people are looking at 2025, they can actually see the light at the end of the tunnel. That's why that was our cover photo this year. Like, they do actually see that, but they, you know, by the end of 2025, we know that the supply will have burnt off in the markets where it's really affecting performance. We expect the deal pipeline will start to open up by the end of the year, but it's still a slog, right? There's still a lot of year left before we think things will start to turn good. And so, yeah, that was the overall thing that turned out to be different from how people were predicting it. The other thing that we can talk about, the big surprise, was that nearly everybody that I spoke to, their renewal retention was up. Mm. And this was definitely not supposed to be a year where everybody had higher renewal retention. Yeah. Everybody was worried about losing residents, yeah. not expecting more of them were going to stay put. But that very much seems to be what happened.
Everybody that I was talking to was talking about how 2024 was going to be a struggle for resident retention. What do you think happened?
Well, I mean, what happened was definitely that it didn't turn out the way people thought it would. Mm-hmm. What I found really interesting when I was going through the scripts from these 20 conversations that we had was that there was no sort of prevailing reason why people thought retention was up. There were lots of different reasons that people were giving. In fact, what I did when I was writing up the paper this year, I just took the scripts from my interviews and fed them into ChatGPT with a prompt to find individual explanations from these interviews for why renewal retention was up. And there are 18 different explanations. Huh. So, you know, when I look at that, I'm always sort of telling multifamily people, and particularly technology vendors selling to multifamily companies, that people just overstate this idea that you can control how whether or not people renew with you. There's most people move house for reasons that don't have anything to do with anything that you did or didn't do for them, right? They move because life, right?
Right.
But there is some cohort of people that are sort of on the fence that you can persuade. And I think just my reaction to this particular set of research is that I think I understand that cohort even less well than I thought I did.
And evidently the industry feels the same way. Yeah. Tell me a little bit about, did you find anything interesting or did anything stick out in those 18 explanations from ChatGPT?
So it's funny. I was, during the time I was doing the interviews, I actually reached out to Jay Parsons, who I always talk to about stuff like this. And I was saying to him, this must be to do with interest rates, right? Like, because if you think about the interest rate environment, you've got both a supply and demand problem, right? It's both expensive to get a mortgage, but also the people who are living in the sort of first time homes don't want to move out because they don't want to lose their 3% rates, sure. Right? So it must be to do with the fact that, you know, the economics of the current situation mean I want to kick the can down the road. And he was saying like, well, yeah, that's somewhat true, but he was saying, you know, renewals are a really, really multifactorial thing. And the explanations that some people gave about your really specific service related initiatives that they'd done, right? Things that they'd done to improve maintenance outcomes, stuff that they'd done to engage people earlier and be more structured about how you manage the renewal conversation. People who address things like move in, right? So that was an interesting view that a few people had, was that some of those people that are persuadable, they usually make their decision in the first 30 days they're in the unit, right? Now, I don't know how true that is, but some people had really focused on the post-move-in experience, believing that would help increase retention at the margin. And, you know, maybe that's a factor as well. That people came up with interesting explanations. Like in some, so like Houston, for example, mm-hmm. like markets like this where you're absolutely awash with high quality alternatives that you can probably get for even less than rent than you're currently paying. Well, one observation is that the cost of moving house has gone up. Mm-hmm. Like it's now quite expensive to move house, and it probably erodes the whatever savings that you could have got, which again marginally makes people a bit more likely to to stay where they are. So as you can tell, it's pretty much all over the map.
Yeah, you know what's interesting to me is I had people on the show for years that all believe that the renewal process starts the minute the first lease is signed. So everything that the management company or the on-site team does after that point is going to contribute to whether someone renews or not. And what I'm hearing from the report is that really may not make as much of a difference as people think. Is that true? Is that what you're seeing?
So I, again, I, the only the only sort of legitimate reaction I can have is I really don't know.
Yes.
I just know there's lots of candidate explanations, and it's so difficult to know which of these things is causing somebody to stay put, because it's not the kind of thing that you ask people about, you know.
Yeah.
What made you choose not to move out? It's not yeah. the kind of question you're really going to ask people. So it's sort of speculative by its nature. It's difficult to know. I mean, I do believe more than anything else, I believe that how well you manage maintenance is, if something is likely to change somebody's decision, I think it's more likely than anything else to be about that.
Yeah.
And I'm sure we're going to come on and talk about this later, but I do think that technology can help there. I do think that being better about how you organize both delivery of maintenance and also follow up, like how you understand people's sentiment, like, you know, you may have fixed the dishwasher, but you know, the tech left the blinds open and the room was really hot for my dog. Like, by the time I got home, like, do you really understand like what we mean when we say resolved, when we talk about issues with maintenance? So I do believe that there's lots and lots of opportunity to not create these situations where people are like, I hate this, I want to move out.
Right. All right. Well, we're going to break it here. We're going to be right back after these messages. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
REV, the multifamily leasing company, is the industry's long-term affordable leasing management solution. After all, it's really not about cost. It's really all about revenues. Book REV's expert directors and leasing career professionals for your properties today. Let REV drive revenues and create significant incremental value for you. Reduce stress, stabilize and maximize leasing performance. Never expend resources to recruit or train for leasing again. Lease up, value add, conventional leasing. Let REV be your long-term leasing solution. Go to RevLMC.com to find out more. That's RevLMC.com. REV is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Hire REV today.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
Welcome to the future of property management with Two Dots, the revolutionary platform that transforms how you verify income and identity while stopping fraud in its tracks. Manual reviews are slow, error-prone, and risky. Two Dots automates verification with advanced AI that instantly detects fake documents, and our team handles the follow-ups so your leasing agents don't have to. Save 1.5 hours per applicant, minimize legal risk, and unlock up to $300 in additional NOI per unit annually. But don't take our word for it. We'll test all of your previous applications for fraud free in just 15 minutes to show you what you missed. Say goodbye to bad debt and hello to smarter, faster leasing with Two Dots. Visit us at twodots.net. That's TWODOTS.net, and see for yourself today.
Well, we're back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, powered by the Multifamily Media Network, and coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And today we're discussing the topic of brand new multifamily ops and tech research. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me in the studio is a multifamily prop tech expert and sought-after national speaker, the amazing Dom Beveridge, the principal with 20 for 20. I do want to remind our listeners, if you'd like to provide show topics, guest ideas, suggestions, or just listen to the archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. So, Dom, one of the things that has been in the survey for at least a couple of years, and you know, you and I run into each other at every conference that there is for multifamily around the country, and it's always the big topic, or it has been for the last couple of years, and that's centralization. I was doing a podcast recently with Bob Penninger of the National Apartment Association. We were talking about the fact that centralization in some people's mind is a dirty word, mm-hmm. and a lot of people are kind of gravitating towards standardization. Mm-hmm. So what did you find this year in the report regarding centralization?
Well, the last few years, I've been thinking about centralization in terms of the types of work that people are trying to centralize. You know, so when I first started to look at this a few years ago, all of the talk in the industry was about leasing, mm-hmm. Leasing centralization. And when I started to ask sort of structured questions about the kinds of work that you associate with roles, you know, you have leasing agents, you have an assistant property manager who does admin work, you have maintenance people. When you started looking in those three buckets of activity, what became really obvious was it's not leasing, it's admin that's moving. So everything to do with, you know, move in, move out, collections, deposits, like all of that kind of stuff that we normally associate with the assistant property manager, that was the stuff that people were moving off-site. And that's just continued to be the case. That sort of accelerated over the years that I've been asking people about this. What I found this year, though, is something I find quite interesting, which is that I had been thinking about this previously in terms of, all right, you take the assistant property manager's work off-site, and then, you know, you don't need that role anymore, right? So that would be the way that, for example, like a REIT would think about it that mm-hmm. way, because they, you know, they get to plan at this portfolio level. They get complete latitude to change roles whatever way they want. And the logic follows that, well, if I can take all of the work of one role offsite, then I can permanently put that role into a shared service environment, like a specialized environment. And I kind of thought that's how everybody else would go as well. But what I found out this year is that's not really what's happening. People are taking the admin work off-site, and then they're changing what they're asking people to do at property. So it doesn't follow that once the assistant property manager work goes, the assistant property manager goes. It's more like we've got this central team that's supporting this work. Now what do we want the assistant property manager to do? And that means that people are going in all sorts of different directions in terms of how they organize stuff, right? So you might find that, you know, if you're in a lease up or like a very high touch kind of community, it might be better to sort of gradually phase out assistant property managers, but you add a leasing agent instead. So again, it's you're not changing the number of people there, but you are changing the skill sets there to be more aligned to what you need. You get other things like companies that have properties that are close together might start splitting the community manager role between multiple properties and then asking the assistant property managers to take on additional responsibilities since they don't have this, you know, accounting payments or all of this kind of work to do. And there are, I give a bunch of different examples in the paper, but there's a lot of different ways that people are starting to like evolve roles at property rather than simply subtract them, which is probably the way that I was thinking about this a couple of years ago when I started researching this.
Have you seen a change in the, because I know as part of your survey, you've got different types of property management companies involved. So REITs obviously have a lot of freedom to do things mm-hmm. Because they own and manage their own properties. What about other types of property managers? Are they constricted by the fact that they have different owners and they've got to work within that different owner requests what they want?
Yeah, very much so. You're mentioning my kind of favorite hobby horse when I look at everything, which is that people forget that most of this industry is third party managed,
right.
And it's getting more and more that way every year. I think NMHC must be publishing its top 50 again pretty soon, and I fully expect that trend towards more properties, but you know, management portfolios getting bigger than ownership portfolios to continue as it has been for the last, you know, 11, 12 years or something like that. So yeah, most of the industry is third-party managed. That means that to change anything about the team at property level, you have to have a new agreement between the owner and the operator. Like every third-party managed property is subject to a property management agreement. If you want to change the terms of that agreement, like we agreed you were going to have this many full-time equivalents and now we're going to take one out and replace it with the service that you're going to pay us for in a different way, that requires you to change your agreement. And there are companies that are doing that. Like there's lots of third party managers that are actually doing very little about this right now. But there are some and some of the really big ones that are really really pushing ahead and trying to figure out how to do this. But the thing that I noticed from I did a lot of research on this, the third party management centralization in the second half of last year. The thing that the big dynamic that drives is that when you have an owner and an operator making decisions, it means every decision ends up being about one property at a time.
Right.
So whereas, you know, Camden can look at all of its properties in Houston and say, what's the best way to deploy my people and technology across these, you know, this set of communities that I have complete control over. If you're a third party manager, it's much more, or an asset manager on the other side of the table, it's much more like, which of my properties do I think this thing will work at? Okay, well, let's test it there and see if this works. And again, what that means is it's harder because you can't really, it's very difficult to say, well, I'm going to share these people between these properties in a different way. If the decision is about one property at a time, then it's like this role is either going to be 100% on or 100% off the property.
Right.
That's the kind of decision you're asking people to make. So it's like those guys have to clear a high up bar.
Yeah. What are some of the other things regarding centralization that stuck out to you this year in the report?
So I now think about it in terms of front office and maintenance. Like it doesn't sort of work to separate leasing from admin because those roles are evolving. So they're less separate than they used to be. Front office, you know, people are still very unsure about what they're going to do with leasing. It seems to me like you're going to get more and more central support, right? So things like lead nurturing and handling inbound calls are increasingly going to be things that are done by a combination of AI and central teams. Being able to refer people from one property to another. So there isn't a two-bed, two-bath at this community, but there is at this other one that we can that we can organize a tour at. You know, that kind of stuff, you know, when you centralize stuff, you can do things like that, which is actually a big value add, right? It's a much more efficient way to sort of market and lease properties. So you know, people seem to be in this, moving towards this kind of hybrid-y sort of leasing role, but it's definitely not the case that most people are trying to take it off property. Admin, everyone's removing it from property, and we're figuring out what we do with the remaining people there. The tough one is maintenance.
Yeah.
Like if we look at maintenance, there's very little difference between the answers this year and the answers like 2 years ago. I think it's a very difficult problem to crack. You know, we have these in a typical 300 unit community. We have these three people that more or less handle all of the work as it comes in. To change that model, you've got to do some, you know, you've got to consider changing the mix of people that are delivering maintenance and how you organize them. So they're sort of difficult problems, and it just means that you have this inertia that makes people not act on it. The impression I've always got is that multifamily leaders are sort of looking for a palatable next step to take in maintenance. The one thing that I do think is potentially interesting is I think we'll come on to talk in more depth about AI, but I think AI on what we call the intake problem, right? So the bit where you as a resident contact someone to say, you know, my sink is blocked, or the handling of that request and deciding whether it's urgent or not, and deciding whether or not it's something that you can talk a resident through, scheduling it, like figuring out when the right time is to do that. It seems like more and more people are taking the step of testing some of the very impressive like AI applications that there are out there to help with that. And I think that might provide more opportunities to really think about how we could deliver maintenance differently. But, you know, it's baby steps.
Yeah, definitely. And one of the things that I've heard is the only places where it's been a somewhat successful adoption of centralization of maintenance has been in markets where a management company or an owner has a huge cluster of properties that are relatively close together, that they can put specialized people on specialized tasks and things like that. But that's I think, few and far between in the industry. So.
Yeah, it's really, really sensitive to geography because it really doesn't take much windshield time to completely counteract the benefits of doing the thing in the first place.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to be back. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back right after these messages. You are listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Is your multifamily property still on clunky mechanical locks or managing multiple systems for electronic locks? There's a better way to manage your property's access. Zintra is a single system to manage unit, perimeter, and amenity spaces for your multifamily property. Zintra is designed for property and maintenance staff who are overwhelmed and need a system that works from the leasing office to on the go with the Zintra mobile app. Whether you're a leasing agent handling a move-in, a property manager generating reports, or maintenance staff accessing a work order, Zintra will handle your access needs simply and securely. Zintra is paired with Schlage's world-class line of hardware and is now the first to be able to offer Resident Key in Apple Wallet as a solution for tap-and-go entry to all access points on your property with an iPhone or Apple Watch. With Zintra, you don't have to sacrifice between a world-class experience for your residents and decreasing the workload on your staff. Zintra is quick, simple, and secure enough to handle all your multifamily property's access needs. To get started, visit Zintra.co, Zentra.co, Zintra.co, or contact your Allegion representative.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call eConserve today at 713-662-3220 for a free analysis of your property. That's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
Managing multifamily assets shouldn't mean juggling platforms and drowning in emails. Meet DeskFirst.com, your all-in-one solution. Showcase available units with stunning virtual desktops, complete with virtual tours and floor plans. Empower your teams with real-time collaborative workspaces. Keep investors engaged with sleek, custom-branded portals and onboard residents faster with intuitive, personalized portals for everything from lease access service to service requests. Affordable, easy to use, built for multifamily. Go to DeskFirst.com to close deals faster, engage others better, and manage your assets smarter.
Well, we're back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, powered by the Multifamily Media Network, and coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. Today, we're discussing the topic of brand new multifamily ops and tech research. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me in the studio is a multifamily prop tech expert, a sought-after national speaker, the fantastic Dom Beveridge, principal with 20 for 20. I do want to take a moment and thank some of our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. EconServe, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. Rev, the leasing management company. Rev is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Plumber, boost your bottom line with custom utility allowance models. Zintra, a seamless security solution designed to solve the everyday problems of shared access on the property. Zintra is the convergence of exceptional security and convenience. And PayScore, learn about the truth in applicant income. Dom, one question I've got for you is, what was the most popular topic that people wanted to discuss in the survey?
Well, I mean, if we talk about centralization is very top of mind right now, but if we think about technology specifically, it's still the case that the most evaluated, the most implemented technology out there right now is fraud prevention,
right?
For sure. That surprised me last year. How fraud's just always been this problem, but the way in 2023 this had come to be a top executive priority, and also the fact that there are so many sort of best of breed providers of new technology, one of whom you just mentioned in the market. It actually led me to do follow on research on fraud. So I've been strongly interested in this area. But once again, when you ask people about what they did in 2024 and what they're going to do in 2025, there's more activity around fraud than anything else.
Yeah. We just did an episode on fraud what amazes me is, and I remember doing a show a few years back on fraud, or they touched on fraud. It wasn't about fraud, but the stories that you hear of some of the things that people do and how they are fraudulently working within this, within the multifamily environment, even some people on the inside of leasing teams who help the person commit the fraud. You know, that's few and far between, hopefully, but you know, you see it just doing things. And of course, with technology from the standpoint of it's available to the people who commit the fraud of being able to create documents and pay stubs and so forth. Mm. It's just a different ball game today than it was years ago.
Yeah. I mean, you had Nate and Johnny on your show, didn't you?
Right.
Who are two people who have really, really interesting views on this. In fact, one of the interesting things in that conversation is one of the big takeaways is you have to understand what your fraud problem is.
Right.
So you can tell what's interesting, from sort of end of last year to this year is fraud has really attracted a lot of hype. You can see like new entrants coming into the market that are very strongly like riding this wave of hype. And it's a very risky thing actually for multifamily operators. You know, the approach that Nate describes is based on the fact that they really understand what moves the needle for them. And it's completely different from what would move the needle for a different kind of portfolio than the one that he's in charge of managing fraud for. So, you know, it's very easy to get sort of carried away with particularly some of the things that vendors tell you. There's a lot of really good expertise out there in the vendor community, and the smart people are really understanding what kinds of fraud people are trying to perpetrate at their properties and understanding what the best toolkit is to kind of get rid of it. It's interesting as well that there's another sort of view that, you know, even thinking about it as fraud prevention is maybe not the right way to look at it, because there's loads and loads of prospects out there who are good renters,
right,
who are just going to struggle to make to get past the barriers that you put in place for them. So some of the smarter technology is really thinking about this from the perspective of how do I qualify good renters into my property rather than just how do I put a shield up against all these bad people.
Yeah, and speaking of Nate, I give this company a lot of credit because they created a position for somebody to do what he does, which a lot of, you know, that's one of the first people I've heard of in the industry that specializes, you know, in that kind of compliance situation. But let's talk about AI and technology for AI. What are you seeing now out there that's important?
Yeah, AI is interesting because there's this very sort of solid progress that you see each year, right? So a couple of years ago when ChatGPT was first launched, we sort of expected this sort of hockey stick of everything's about to change. And it never really sort of materialized. There's loads of cool stuff that you can do with AI and with chat that you couldn't do previously. But you know, in terms of the sort of use cases that are really going to change much about multifamily, about property management, we don't really know what those are yet. So most of the progress that people make is in doing that chat layer that interacts with residents. It seems to me that it's beginning to look like the wrong way to think about those technologies is thinking of them as AI technologies. It's more like automation technology that happens to be delivered by AI, right? If you think about, you know, I mentioned in the last segment, the intake problem in maintenance, like that's being able to get away from having maintenance staff talking to residents about maintenance issues is a really big improvement in terms of time, in terms of experience, in terms of outcomes, right? If you have an AI that's smart enough to be able to understand, whether or not an issue is urgent, right? So can I just tell this resident where the reset button is on their garbage disposal and have it not ever be a materialized as work order, right? So, stuff like that really automates away lots of unnecessary and candidly, you know, not very desirable human effort. So, you know, you see more and more of that. You know, we started leasing. It's been around for ages, you know, ever since the first issue of 20 for 20 came out 7 years ago. It's we've had digital leasing assistance. We've added to that collections and renewals and now maintenance. And one of the things that I think is interesting is voice AI. That technology feels like it's good enough. There are some vendors that do it well enough that that can make a meaningful additional sort of contribution. If you sort of think about it, there's some very exciting possibilities that opens up. Like a voice AI agent mm-hmm. can immediately figure out what language you're speaking. So you get away from, you know, para continuar en español message, and it will just talk to you in Spanish if you start talking to it in Spanish. So I also love the idea of going on a self-guided tour, which I experienced through my AirPods, right? Yeah, right. That's great. If you could talk to the agent that you were talking to before you had your tour, that seems to me to be a way better solution than the way that we're kind of thinking about that right now. AI, you're seeing just very solid additional adoption of new stuff every year from most of these companies. What I saw for the first time this year is you can tell there were like 5 out of 20 of the companies that we spoke to have a project planned, some kind of project plan for 2025, where they're trying to figure out what they can use large language models for. So, mm-hmm. so not just the technology that you buy off the shelf, but all right, how do we use OpenAI in our business intelligence environment? How do we use ChatGPT or Gemini or whatever it is to automate some back office processes? Not stuff that interacts with customers, right. But you know, stuff that that helps us make our delivery model more efficient. We are, you know, ChatGPT has been around for a couple of years now, and we still haven't moved that far past the it writes emails for me kind of model, which you know, is a very, very limited application of something as powerful as a large language model. But I do see people making meaningful strides to figure out how to leverage some of that power.
Do you think that where do you see AI going ultimately, maybe 5 years from now, as far as helping in the multifamily industry? Do you think the technology is going to advance to a point where it's going to be universally accepted, or there's still going to be a slow roll on this?
It doesn't seem like a particularly slow roll to me right now. It feels like it's it's finding its way into anything that it can improve at the moment. There's some really impressive technology companies out there that are working on some really, really cool stuff right now that I think will change a lot of things. So, you know, I think I do wonder if contact centers might actually be a thing of the past. Like, right. I've seen impressive enough voice technology that you're sort of scratching your head to think about what kind of call it wouldn't be able to handle. And you know, if it's handling the interaction layer with residents. If you think about it, residents have a life cycle from the time they lease to the time they move out. Like if you've got an agent that can with whom it can sort of form a relationship, like text this number, I can call this, you know, this voice, and it will help me with everything from now until the time I move out. You get past this perennial problem that we have in multifamily, which is that you have high turnover. You know, right. The person that I spoke to last month is not the same person I have to speak to now, and so I have to start over. So, you know, I do think it will fundamentally change like lots of things. Like the there are like important things that I don't see how it replaces, though. I mean, one really experienced operator was talking to me about this, and he was saying, just for as long as, you know, as long as you have like investors in properties, like if there's a problem with leasing, it's not going to be the case that they say, oh, well, what does the AI say about this?
Right.
It's going to be like, right, who's in charge of leasing at this property? Right. Like, what's going on? So the fact that you need things like accountability, mm-hmm. you do need like human interactions for all sorts of different things. I don't see it like replacing everything, but I see it replacing an awful lot of stuff that we don't do particularly well right now.
All right. We're going to break it here. We're going to be back with our final segment of this episode right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Thank you. Looking for a solution to balance your assets? Tired of wasted time managing your day-to-day bookkeeping, buggy software implementations, inaccurate financials? Or maybe you're worried about a pending audit. Would you like more time to focus on revenue-generating activities versus accounting administrative activities? Here at Balanced Asset Solutions, we are a CPA firm that specializes in property management platforms, including Yardi and AppFolio. You can reach Balanced Asset Solutions now at 619-415-6826. Go visit our website at www.balancedassetsolutions.com. Don't delay. Call Balanced Asset Solutions today.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Still using the Public Housing Authority's utility allowance? Plumbers Water and Energy Efficiency Team can develop a custom allowance model to boost your bottom line and help pay for upgrades. Plumber partners with affordable housing providers across the country. With over 1,000 successful custom utility allowance models, they know how to make the business case for efficiency. They can also help you with green building certifications, upgrades, and more. Learn about their no-risk guarantee and how they can help you at plumber.com. That's PLUMMER.com.
SMART is a national multifamily research and analytics company providing market, property, and floor plan level data to track performance, evaluate competitive strategies, and identify potential investment opportunities. Their innovative web-based software and mobile application contains extensive searchable inventory of granular historical data, floor plan by floor plan rents, concessions, and availabilities for enhanced analysis and forecasting. For more information or to sign up for a free trial, go to smartapartmentdata.com.
Well, we are back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters, powered by the Multifamily Media Network and coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. We're discussing the topic of brand new multifamily ops and tech research. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me by phone is a multifamily prop tech expert, a sought-after national speaker, Awesome Dom Beveridge, the principal with 20 for 20. I do want to take a moment and thank some of our other sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. Allegion, a leading provider of mobile-enabled products and solutions for efficient access control within multifamily properties. Balanced Asset Solutions, CPAs, with expertise in multifamily property management. DirecTV, ultimate entertainment experiences, now available to all multifamily residents. Smart Apartment Data, the most comprehensive and up-to-date intelligence on the multifamily industry, and CTS Complete Technology Solutions, making managed IT an easy business decision for multifamily. So what did the survey say about revenue management? That's always been a hot topic, especially with a lot of the stuff going on out there in the legal environment.
Yeah, well, so revenue management has been a very settled technology for a long time. I stopped asking questions about it after the first couple of years of doing this survey because there was just nothing interesting to say about it. Everyone just had their technology, wasn't a big priority for executives, and it wasn't a good use of the interview time, so I stopped asking. Then, of course, in 2022, you have all the lawsuits dropping and all of this stuff that's been playing out since then, and so people have not wanted to talk about it. So it's just generally been an area that we've stayed away from in this survey. Obviously, I've written about it pretty extensively elsewhere. But what's really interesting this year is that there's a lot of movement in terms of people changing systems, mm-hmm. right? So this is very much a first. I think 7 out of 20 of the companies that I spoke to were moving off their incumbent revenue management platform and onto something else, right? So there are a couple of companies, one of whom had already, your large companies, one of whom had built their own revenue management system and moved to that. Another was considering doing the same thing. Most of the others are going to a competitor in the market. That is part of this. There is now sort of really strong best of breed competition to RealPage, which hasn't been the case for since 2017. So these are all sort of big forces that are driving this in the industry. But yeah, I mean, what's interesting to me as well is that people seem to be changing competitor data providers as well, and they're doing these things separately. So part of the problem that's behind all these lawsuits and generally about the way that multifamily thinks about revenue management is that they pay too much attention to competitor data, whether it's data that you're allowed to have or data that's contentious. People just pay too much attention to it. And the fact that I see people moving to systems that don't use competitor data at all, and that they're simultaneously moving to competitor data providers that get all of their data off the web and, you know, don't touch anybody's like confidential systems, it tells me that things are probably going in the right direction. Like that's probably the right reaction to all of this contentious stuff that's been going on for the last couple of years. I mean, if there's an outcome where people stop like over focusing on comp data in their revenue management and they get completely out of the business of anything that looks like data sharing, I mean, that's probably a good outcome of all this. So, you know, those are some of my bigger sort of observations about this. But generally, it just seems like for most companies, the period during which they didn't want to do anything about revenue management because of the lawsuits, that period seems to be over.
Okay. All right. We've got about 4 minutes left in the segment. Tell us a little bit about some of the other brand new technologies out there that people are talking about.
Well, I mean, the biggest finding about technology for me this year is there's just like a lot of it.
Yeah.
So when you look at what were people's highlights of 2024, way more than in previous years, the highlight was about some specific technology, or it was about we did something to reduce the bloat in our technology stack, right? So it's that kind of stuff. When we looked at biggest priorities for 2025, again, I think most of the answers were some specific technology that the companies were going to implement. And so generally, I think a fairly safe conclusion to take from that is that executives are spending more of their time thinking about technology than they have done in previous years. Now, there are good reasons for that, right? Properties haven't been trading at the same rate mm-hmm. that they normally do, which means if properties aren't trading, then operators and technology people are not spending time onboarding and offboarding properties, right? So they've got time to focus on other stuff. And, you know, there are a few other things, you know, to call a priority when I ask them the question. But yeah, it just seems like more of people's attention has been taken up and it continues to be taken up by specific technologies. The other thing that I asked people about this year, which is a sort of new line of questioning, was, there's this suggestion that companies have been acquiring lots of pieces of technology in the post-COVID like era, right? And we've reached a stage where most companies don't even know what their customer journey is. They have no way of looking at this the way that a prospect would look at leasing, for example. We've been adding, you know, different leasing tools, different tour, virtual tour, self-guided tour, you know, deposits, you know, screening, fraud prevention. Like we've been adding all of these different like widgets to the that are all different from one another. They all require residents or prospects to go to different places, and there's a lot of complexity in that. And when we made this sort of statement to each of the respondents in this year's in this year's research, like 19 out of 20 of them agreed that companies generally don't even know what their customer journey is. And so that's sort of interesting because, you know, either your customer journey is important or it isn't. And, you know, for lots of companies, it's something that they're either really struggling with or more often the case, they're not really paying that much attention to at all. Going back to my favorite hobby horse, you know, most of the industry is third party managed. You've got more and more companies that are being funded right now, right? So you've just got more technology companies out there. It's not necessarily the case that when more money goes into the sector, the quality goes up. It just means you've got more companies to choose from than you did before. All of those companies know to go directly to ownership to sell their product rather than going to the operator because that's hard. And what happens is, you know, if some asset manager likes the look of this particular, I don't know, payments widget or whatever it is, then the operator just has to accommodate it in their in their technology stack. Now, it's not the job of an operator to refuse to do business with a financial institution because of some widget they want to put in the tech stack. Right. But at the same time, it's not the job of an asset manager to engineer the customer journey on behalf of their operators.
Right.
So you've got this situation where it's literally nobody's job to make the technology work for the people that were asking to use it.
Right. I want to ask you how people can reach you and all that. Before we do that, is there anything else from this year's survey that stood out to you that you think people need to look for?
I mean, there's lots, but I think we covered the main topics. The general direction of technology, and I published an article today on the subject, elaborating a bit more on this. But the need for people to see technology always as a trade-off, like it's never, these companies are always called solutions.
Yeah.
But like there are no solutions, as Thomas Sowell says. There are only trade-offs. Every time you introduce new functionality, you do it at the cost of simplicity, customer journey, like whatever. And the more people apply themselves to that trade-off, the better their decisions are likely to be.
Well, the bottom line is people need to get their hands on this report so they can read it. So what's the best way for them to do that?
Yep. If you go to 20for20.com, 20for20.com, and the first thing that you'll see on the homepage of the website is a link to the annual report. So yeah, you can download it there, or you can find me on LinkedIn.
What are some of the other things that that you do that you could help people with?
Well, so I mostly work with technology companies to help them find customers one way or another. So I do a lot of research for technology companies to understand what makes their technology different from everybody else's, and how best to get that in front of the right people that can ultimately be influenced to make decisions about it. That's a long-winded way of saying I help people with a variety of sort of demand generation things.
All right. And what's the best way for someone to reach you if they want to?
Probably LinkedIn, or just hit the website at 20for20.com.
Okay, fantastic. Well, we will be back next week with another great topic and panel of industry experts. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.